One of the human quests is to discover what is unchanging. We believe that there is something that does not change. The very fact that we perceive changes indicates to something that does not change, because on that background of unchanging, we perceive the changes. Also, we know there has to be the unchanging I, because all our behavior, all our experience is based on that conviction, unshakable conviction that there is I that does not change. We discussed various examples showing that without this conviction of an unchanging I, our life will not be possible at all. Last time, on last Friday, we were discussing that how some aspects of our being survive after what we normally perceive as death, and then take up another body. This is what is popularly called as the idea of reincarnation, theory of reincarnation. It is, in a way, easy to understand what is necessary in its understanding is to hold on to this conclusion that I am not the body. Once this conclusion is reached and held on to, then the concept of reincarnation becomes very simple. In fact, a tautology that follows. It is so simple, once we understand that I am not the body, then the ideas of reincarnation will come to us quite easily. I mean, they become understandable very easily. Some of the questions that we were discussing about it last time, we could not finish that discussion. One question that I will start with is what George had asked, and that I could not really answer completely because of lack of time. And this is a point where readers of Vedanta can often find very confusing statements because of the word. One word is used to convey various things. Lot of confusion takes place because of this, that you use the same word to connote various ideas. Why should it be is another question to discuss. That why should we not have exactly one word to denote exactly one idea, so that all confusion will be eradicated. All confusion will get averted if I have just one idea for one word, a one-to-one correspondence between the word and the concept. Then, when I use a word, immediately that concept will come up, that and that alone. For example, if I use the word Chris, there is only one person, Chris, but if there are four persons with the same name, and then four persons will be referred to by that, and then whom am I referring to will have to be thought about. It is not only that, there is other problem also, not that one word refers to several concepts. Several words also refer to the same concept or same one thing. Therefore, the problem becomes further complicated. And why was it done like that? That there is an answer to that too. Firstly, the ideas far outnumber the availability of words. The words, after all, are very limited compared to the various ideas that continuously keep on springing in our minds, and moreover, they keep on permutating and combining with so many other ideas, creating new ones. The pace with which new words get created is much slower than the pace at which the ideas get created. And therefore, the same words become applicable somehow sometimes because of association, sometimes because of somebody has used it in that sense, and sometimes just because lack of any better word, one uses the same word for various different things. And the ideas, they far outnumber the existence of words, and the generation of ideas takes place at a far rapid pace than the generation of the new words. Another interesting thing is that the words, they become meaningful only in context. The context changes. The word remains sometimes the same, and it indicates something different. And this very much happens when we are discussing the concepts regarding the soul. An example that I would like to give here, which is very relevant for the understanding of this apparent multiplicity and essential unity of the souls. That is, when I am looking, say, now you can't at it, it is night, but say during the daytime you are looking at the sun in the sky. You will show somebody as, look, that is the sun. You know that that is called sun. Now she gets reflected in water. Now again you point out to somebody, look, that is sun. Now you are pointing to the reflection. Now essentially what you are pointing at is a mixture, not exactly the sun, but a mixture of sun and water, is it not? A perception of reflected sun in the water. So you are perceiving there water as well as sun. You may use the word, look at that sun there. Is sun there? Yes and no. When you are referring to the sun in the sky, well, one sun. There are no two suns in the sky. One sun. Now, if you have, say, 100 cups full of water kept under the sun, there will be 100 suns right on the earth here. without creating that kind of scorching heat. So are the suns 100 or not? The word sun will still be used to denote all of them. Who has the time to explain all the time? You know, what I am talking about is the reflection of sun. Do we say always that, yes, my body has come to Vedanta Society? We don't say that I have come to Vedanta Society. It is because the body moves like that. So our words are to be understood in the context in which they are used. And when we lose the context, please pay attention to this, friends, because it is here that many ideas of Vedanta start becoming very confusing. The multiplicity of the souls and oneness of the soul. Where is this oneness and where lies the multiplicity? That has to be clearly understood. To understand that what reincarnates. Last time George had asked this question, that what is the idea in reincarnation if the self is same everywhere and it is unborn, it is all-pervading, then how that self reincarnates? Now, the answer to this is to be understood in this context. Let us, this is explained from two sides. Vedanta uses these two techniques or two methods to explain a particular idea or any given idea. One is called anulom and another is called vilom. And these are technical words. One means to trace the effect from the cause, and the other is to trace the cause from the effect from both sides, so that the whole situation is better grasped. The cause to the effect and effect to the cause. So, this self that is experienced by the sages as all-pervading, eternal, unchanging, immutable, the absolute one beyond all many. Now, these all are just a very feeble attempt of the sages to convey the idea to us. Now, what has happened then? Why do we see the multiplicity? The fact of multiplicity cannot be denied by anybody. It is just telling lie, isn't it? If I say that I don't perceive any multiplicity, it is just utter saying that it is something that is contrary to my experience. It may not be truth, but it certainly is the fact that multiplicity is my experience. I, you, he, she, various things, that it is the multiplicity that I experience. Now this multiplicity is to be explained to the questioner. That Yamuna Bai asked this question to the sage. Imagine, you know, she is very seeker of knowledge, and so she goes to the sage and asks this question that, hey, you are saying that there is only one truth, all pervading. How come that I see this multiplicity? Where does it come from? Then the sage explains that depending on the temperament, the position, the understanding constitution of Jamunabai, the ideas are to be explained according to the capacity, tendency, constitution of the student. So the sages explain it in various ways. Not that one explanation is automatically superior to other explanation. All explanations are excellent if they bring you the understanding of truth. Is it not? It is the result of getting a harmonious understanding of the situation, and that is what is wanted. Which explanation is better than others depends on with whom you are discussing it. Something may be convincing for one, something else may be convincing for somebody else. So, one of those these explanations for the multiplicity are given in various ways. Three of these are very prominent. One is the non-dualistic, which although is very charming and intellectually very convincing for some, very difficult to grasp at the psychological and functional level. Then there is another one which intellectually has lesser appeal, but psychologically it has a better appeal and is more convincing for most of us because it tallies better with our day-to-day experience. That is called the qualified non-dualistic. And the third is dualistic, which is logically it has or rationally it is the least appealing, but functionally it is the most appealing one and most effective one also. In fact, let us put it this way in a as a rough estimate. 95% of the world's population would functionally accept the last, the dualistic one. It would not bother whether it is intellectually right or not, because what functions is what we need most. I want, a mechanic who can fix my the problem of my dysfunctioning some electrical apparatus, let us say the sound system, rather than the one who can explain very rationally what goes wrong. But then it takes away all the energy and time, and the problem functionally doesn't get solved. So it depends. If somebody can appreciate the rationality without losing the psychological and functional aspect, the non-dual approach is the best suitable. So if Jamunabai has the mindset of non-dual approach, then the sage starts explaining to Jamunabai, look here, Jamunabai, it is the one. Because of ignorance appears as I and the world, divided. And because of this division, the one, then out of these two manufactures infinitely many. Everywhere it is reflected. Each of these become many different souls. The one soul thus appears as many, many souls. Now these souls, because of being caught in matter, like this, again an analogy is helpful. The sun reflected in water. Now the sun, there is no concept there of sun becoming dirty or turbid. But water becomes dirty or turbid. So, if the sun is reflected in turbid, dirty water, you would call that the sun is dirty, fallen in dirt, you see, so dirty sun. If the water is clean, clean sun. If the reflection is big, big sun. If the reflection is small, small sun. All these are now the varieties of the reflected sun, which that reflected sun is again that very sun reflected. It doesn't have a separate existence, but all the qualities, all the attributes that we associate with this reflected sun have nothing to do with the sun in the sky. Lorry, does that sun in the sky becomes turbid or dusty or like that? It doesn't become dusty. If what happens if the water evaporates? Does the sun in the sky vanishes because of that? No. It has no effect there on it. But the sun that you are looking at, say, in a small pot of water, that sun will vanish. No more there. What has happened is, well, the water there has disappeared, vanished, and so you are not seeing that sun. Now this is how the multiplicity is. The one appears as many. And these now have a craving. These are associated with desires. Because of the essential oneness, the essential oneness is also reflected. The essential nature of sun is reflected in the sun that you see in water in various ways. Like that is bright, reflection also has brightness. That has rays, so what is reflected also, you can see the rays there. So, some characteristics of that are seen in the reflected. And one of them is this oneness. And this oneness is reflected in our world as the desires to possess, have. When you have something, you become kind of one with it. Like you have hands and feet and all, you consider you have become one with it. Something that is more, slightly more distant, mine, you know, then the idea of mine comes. You get associated with that and feel one with it. Yes, my shirt, my shoes, my father, my mother, my friend, my wife, my husband, my dog, and all that. You know, it is a sense of oneness, you see. Yes, it is. You feel it as if it is your extension. Parents experience, especially the mother experiences the children as the extension of herself. She is extended in the form of the baby. So it is the desires are this expression of oneness. I want this is really psychologically, I do not want a separation between I and that. And that is because of this oneness. It is a very profound idea, friends. This is the concept of reincarnation. Many feel what is the importance of it, because it is associated with so many great ideas, so many sublime ideas, which can become the focus of our meditation and our actual life. That is why it is so important a concept. Now, for the desires, for the fulfillment of the desires, instruments are manufactured. I have a desire to go about, so I manufacture an instrument for that. Say a horse, a cart, a car, whatever, an aircraft. For the fulfillment of the desires, instruments are manufactured. These instruments are at various levels. The first instrument, the most important, most significant, which is called the subtle body. And now this I is therefore called itself, you know, a causal body. This I in ignorance is called causal body, where I and the world seem different. This is the causal body. This ignorance is the causal body. Here is the multiplicity. The multiplicity is here. Now it is not the self that is all-pervading, one without a second. At the level of reflection, it is now multiple, many. Now, that multiplicity has these desires, and thus this instrument for fulfillment of these desires get manufactured through this. Just as you have desire, you fulfill those desires with instruments. So the mind, the sense organs, the motor organs, memory, all this stuff is ego. It is manufactured and it is called subtle body. It is here that all the joys and sorrows are collected. Elation and depression is kept here. The good feelings, the bad feelings are all stored here. This is a very durable instrument. But this needs some external appendages, which is called the gross body. Like I want to eat food. Now, the food, eating of the food requires some, not just food, but food is required. But some other things also are secondarily required for properly eating the food. Like I require the cooking and cutting and cooking equipment. A knife is required for cutting. If it has to be sharp, Lori says, Swami, what kind of knives you have? They need to be sharpened. So it is, you need sharp good knives. So it is secondary instrument. You know, it is not that you can't have food without knives. One Swami showed me, you know, I had gone to his place there, and nobody else was there, myself and he. And then I said, for the breakfast we came together, and he said, well, would you, this is an apple, if you want to cut it, see, here is knife. You can cut it with the usual method, but if you want, I can show you my method. His name, I don't want to tell his name, say some Ananda, that is, he said that I can show you this Ananda method. Said, wow, what is that method? He just picked it and started biting at it. This is my method, you know, of cutting it. So one can just eat like that, but still one prefers it for decency or some other things. Like, come on, let me use a knife. So similarly, cooking and this and that, then for eating you use spoons and forks and plates and all that. Now, these spoons, forks, plates are secondary, disposable, really speaking. Because you don't eat them. Disposable in the sense that that is not what you are eating. That is not food. That doesn't go in you. That remains out. And that keeps on changing according to the nature of food you are eating. For example, for soup, sipping the soup, you will use one kind of spoon. For eating pasta, you will use different kind of, a fork will be used for that. So, taking coffee, you will neither use a spoon nor a fork. You will say that, give me a cup, you say. Because different instruments are required for different kind of food. So, similarly, this gross body is that kind of secondary instrument. You keep on changing it. It is changed very frequently. You think that it is, this body is, lives long, 100 years. But compared to the time span in the subtle body, it is very, very short lifespan. Very little. Very, very tiny thing. Just comes and goes. It really is not very significant. This body is a secondary instrument. And therefore, when this body is not, either it has become now too old or too, weak, lot of erosion and corrosion has taken place. Like somebody working in our kitchen says, that Swami, this is no longer good. Throw it. So it is now it is to be discarded. You have been using it for quite some time, no doubt. But look at this. Now this is not good. Throw it. Don't get attached to it. Swami, you advise us about detachment and all. Throw this away. This should not be. So like that, when the body becomes old, not useful anymore, eroded, corroded, became dysfunctional, then it is to be discarded. That doesn't mean that you discard yourself. Only the body is discarded. So, if you feel that this spoon is now a disposable spoon, use and throw. So, you used it, threw it, That doesn't mean next time now you are not going to use spoon to eat. You will pick up another spoon. So similarly, this body will be discarded and another body will be used, you say. Not that the body will not be used at all. This particular body will not be used. But all the food that you have taken in, the spoon doesn't take to keep any food with it. The food is put into the body, the spoon is kept out. So this body is kept out, but all that pleasures and pains and actions, various actions that you have performed with it, they remain with you. And that is then carried to the next body. That is what is the subtle body keeps on, therefore, taking in newer and newer grass body. The multiplicity of the souls is in because of the multiplicity of the body. The one eternal, all-pervading soul has no question of reincarnation, even incarnation. There is no change there at all. About that, reincarnation is not being discussed. When the idea of reincarnation is discussed, it is about the embodied soul, which is a reflection of the one without second, infinite, all-pervading, real, capital S Self. But the reflections are many, varied, very different from each other, and so each reflection, so to say, has its own karma. So although at the level of infinite, that's real self, this all of us are same. There is no difference there between George and Chet and Donna. And all of us, we do not have any difference there. Yet, as reflected, George has one question, Chet has another question, Vishwanath will have third question. So, somebody will be writing the notes, one of them will be writing the notes, other will be just listening, third will be dozing. So, it is... So all these different varieties will be there. These varieties are there at the phenomenal level. And there, therefore, different karma gets accrued because of the different actions. Because of the different actions, like in one pot the water is getting diminished because of evaporation. In another pot, because it is raining there, the water is getting filled. So, although nothing is happening to the sun in the skies, the reflected sun will be seen changing. In some places the water is turbulent. So, you will see the sun is dancing, you know. Sun dances. So, if I try to tell that person, no, the sun, how can it dance? No, it is not, you see, it is dancing here. So, one sun dances, another sun doesn't dance. If you put another pot of water, another sun is born there. That is what is birth, you see. So, how many suns can you get? How many? Well, yes, there is really as many as you want to see. From one water, you divide the same water in five pots. Now, from one sun, one reflected sun, not the one real sun, from one reflected sun, you got now five reflected suns. So, this is all the changes in the matter that gets associated with the change of the embodied soul. This embodied soul performs actions through these instruments. These instruments, these two levels of instrument, the gross body instrument, the subtle body instrument. The third causal body is in a way not an instrument, it is the primary basic ignorance. So, and these three levels are seen separately in the when we are awake and working, then we are using all these three instruments, the causal body, the subtle body and the gross body, all three together are being used. Like, you know, when a fan is running, electric fan, then the three things are being used, the blades of the fan, the motor of the fan and the electricity, is it not? Even if one of them is dysfunctional, the fan will not work. The blades have to be there, the motor has to be there, and the electricity has to be there. So when the gross body is functioning in our waking state, there all these three bodies are functional. But when you go to sleep and start dreaming, Vrishali has gone to bed and has started seeing that she has gone to India and is seeing so many things there. So now she is sleeping, actually the gross body is lying on the bed right here. That experience is not happening in the gross body. That experience is at a different level it is happening. There you see only two bodies are functional. Like when you want to do servicing to your fan, you take out the blades and keep the blades separate, clean the blades and then clean the motor. Now you see whether the motor itself is running properly or not. Now you see the motor is running, good. Now the motor is running, but it is, you can't call it a fan anymore, it is just motor. It is only when attached with blades, now it is fan. So detached from the blades, it is not a fan. Now that motor has its versatility open to it. It can be used as many things. So this is the subtle body. And this is the most important instrument. What is at subtle body level, therefore, all the limitations of gross body disappear. Subtle body is very versatile, very durable, and has virtually no limitations, like the limitations of age and sex and being healthy or sick and whatever. They are not at all applicable to the subtle body. Whether you know Swahili or not, you can perfectly converse with anybody in their language. It is no language barrier there. With every plant and animal you can have conversation at that level. So, it is immensely powerful and immensely versatile. It is big. Gross body, therefore, is only very secondary. It is in the gross body we experience the limitation that I am a man or I am a woman. In fact, even I am a human being is only the gross body that it is attached to. Like this is the variety only in the blade, you know, that the blade is long or short, and these the shapes and the sizes of the blades, the colors of the blades, they do not have any impact on the motor. It is only the qualities of the blades of the fan. Similarly, I am short or tall, I am man or woman, I am a human being or a mosquito, all these things are only pertaining to the gross body. So our being human is only a very secondary covering. It is not really a very deep one. So that is the gross body and subtle body. And when you are in deep sleep, you are not functioning at either level. Both these are being rested now. Both these instruments are kind of resting. So, but you still have retained your individuality. It is, you have like, you go out and lock your house. Now that house, because it is locked, there is no activity going on inside the house. It is locked. You are enjoying vacation in Florida maybe. And so your house in Providence is locked, nobody is there, no activity is going on there. So, but it is yours. When you come back from vacation from Florida, you go at your exact address and use the key that you used to lock it and open it and get in. So, when you go to deep sleep, you give both these instruments a kind of vacation, you know. Yes, take some rest. But you lock it. You lock it and go away. So when you wake up, you come wake up as the same person. Not that Laurie suddenly wakes up as Gwenny, you know. It is not that she wakes up as Laurie herself, you know. It is not that you go to sleep as one being and wake up as different being. And just as after vacation, you go right to your the same house that you left. So, similarly, when you wake up after sleep, you come with the same ignorance that one calls knowledge. So, in what happens at when we say somebody has died is that person or that being, that soul has now disconnected its subtle body from that gross body. That connection is snapped. That is what is called death. And it has shifted itself into another gross body that can be called as birth. So, death and birth, it is like that. The idea in the qualified non-dualistic way or dualistic way also can be explained in the same manner, except the first initial steps differ. The initial steps differ that instead of saying it due to ignorance, it is said that one has created out of its own free will. You cannot ask why, because that being is not subject to your logic. It is all potent, all pervading, all powerful. Omnipotent. So who are you to question that being? And that God, you cannot question God why you did. It is, you know, God is not answerable to you. So don't ask why God did it. Well, no, it is God made all this creation. Then afterwards all the theory remains just the same. All these ideas that about gross body and subtle body and causal body remain the same. The initial step only differs in all these three schools. So, that is how the multiplicity takes place. I was thinking of taking up many more questions today about this, but our George question of last time took away all the time, you know. And I don't know if I have answered it. So, that is where the all-pervading, one without second soul, does not undergo any transmigration. The limited, reflected soul in ignorance alone goes through the cycles of transmigration. And that is where the question of reincarnation or rebirth comes in. It is the discarding of one gross body and taking up another one. That is the idea. So, the subtle body doesn't have a concept of death. There is no death to it. Its death is illumination. When all the desires are gone, then the person is illumined. There is no need of any body there. So, there is no concept of death, no idea of death touches the subtle body. So, therefore it is told by Krishna that that subtle body cannot be pierced with anything. At that level the soul doesn't die. The soul cannot be pierced by sword. The soul cannot be burned by fire. There is ideas of the gross time and space touch there. Like the mind doesn't have the gross idea of space. You are sitting physically here, but the mind is running all around. It doesn't get restricted by the restriction of the physical space. So, in that sense it is called, the subtle body also is called all-pervading. Similarly about the time too, it is not restricted to the idea of time that gross body has, which is generated in our brain. This one, another very, I would say, very different concept in Vedanta about the mind, which many scientists differ with, is that there is nothing like mind, it is only brain. This is a very erroneous idea. Mind functions through brain, but it is not brain. Just as in a fan, the motor functions to give you the breeze through the blades, but then mind, the motor is not the blades. Similarly, the mind is not the brain. The brain is part of the gross body. When the body dies, the brain dies. The body is buried or burnt with the brain that is defunct now. So, brain is separate from mind. The neurologists, many neurologists, do not agree with this. But then that is their obsession with the gross body. And it is like if I refuse to see something beyond the blades, then I will refuse to recognize the motor. If I limit my perceptions only to what I can see on the surface, and our sensory instruments can see only on the surface. So, at that level, then I will not be able to see the motor. I will not be able to see the mind. And so, I will tell that all that is just the brain. So, brain is, friends, not the mind. Mind uses brain for its particular functions. So that is the idea of Vedanta about it. So, well, today there is not much time to take up other questions. Yes, George?
Okay, the mind affects the brain, the brain affects the mind. You can understand it as food or mind.
Yeah, it is both these things happen, that the mind affects the brain, brain affects the mind. That very thing shows that they are different from each other, is it not? Otherwise, we should say brain affects the brain and brain affects the brain. Of course, sure. That is true. That affects the mind, yes, but you have to find out where. That is why it is a big debate in our modern medical science to actually find out whether the problem is neurological or psychological. If the problem is psychological, although it will express through the brain, the corrective cannot be applied in the brain. Whereas, if the problem is neurological and has affected the mind, then the corrective is applied at the brain level and thus the problem is solved. It is like a skin eruption. If it is some problem in the blood or systemic problem that is showing up on the skin, then even if you apply some ointment on the skin, it will only disappear temporarily, because the medication has to be given to something else. And if the problem is just on the skin, then you apply the ointment or medication on the skin and it will disappear. So that is the difference. Yes? That is, it will use another brain if it needs. If the body... computer is dead, then the software there doesn't function. The programs there doesn't function. If your TV has some problem, then the program that is shown on ABC or whatever will not be seen on your computer, your television. That doesn't mean that somebody else's television doesn't see that program. It is being shown on ABC, but because your TV is not functioning, you don't see it, that's all. That doesn't come in with the gross body. That is the mistake. It is not tied to the gross body in a special way. It is not that space-wise the two are tied together. They are at different levels. They are not tied together as such.
But you said when someone physically, the body dies, then it's a separation.
It is separation, doesn't mean physical separation. It's not that there is a knot and then you cut it and then it is taken from here and put like you put a candy from this box to that box. Not that. So subtle body is taken up from here and the idea of space is different at those different levels. That is why, you know, because of our obsession with this particular time and space, the idea becomes very difficult to grasp. One has to understand that this time and space is only the aberration created by this particular brain. The time and space will be very different for an ant, you see. So ant has an ant brain, a dog has a dog brain. So dog's time and space will be completely different from this human time and space. And yet at the similar gross body level, but at the subtle body level, they become still more different, which we cannot really express, because whatever is expressed is again becomes expressed through the brain. But this understanding we can have that this is only a very relative expression that is possible through the brain. But it is not limited to brain. Like what you eat from the spoon is only what the spoon can contain. But that doesn't mean that that is the only thing available to eat. It is only that much that the spoon contains. So the brain has its limitations. Only that much can be functioned through the brain. Nothing beyond that is possible for that brain. But that doesn't mean that that is the only thing. You change the instrument, instead of a small tiny teaspoon, you take a big ladle and more will be there, you know. So, it's like that. Yes, Jaya?
What is the difference between the mind and the soul?
Oh, soul is the one who uses this mind as instrument. There is a user of this. Mind is an instrument, just as the gross body is the instrument, the mind also is instrument of this soul. Yes?
How does the causal body maintain its individuality?
That is almost impossible to tell. It is. It's a very difficult question. It is. It really has so much of oneness, like how the electricity that goes here and electricity that goes here, and the electricity that is functioning through the vents or that instrument, are they different or the same? So it is like that, you know. Same and different. The difference is very difficult to point out. At that level, all attributes are quieted. No attributes. And so, the difference can be gauged only when you wake up, you know. That, you wake up as the same person, not as somebody else. So that difference is retained even at the causal levels.
That would make another good story, a planet where people can go to sleep and wake up as someone else.
That is, you can write a story.
If I could.
Right. Well, George, it is now.
In other words, when you die, your mind goes into the next body with your soul.
Yes, the soul takes, in fact, soul takes the mind, all the sense organs, all that is collected in the mind, all karmas are taken up and gone to the, you take it to the next body. That is why we have to be very careful about our actions, physical and mental, because they are not lost. They are carried with us. We cannot give them up.
And that accounts for some people having a lousy disposition.
Yes. That accounts for it, yes. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्र गीतं एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मंत्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा.